This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Fake versus Real, When It Matters. Burger King made headlines nationwide when it announced a plant-based Whopper made with a meat substitute, which comes from plants. Not everybody is on board with this idea. The next frontier in replicating meat is to grow it in a lab from animal cells. Companies are working on that for human food already, but reporter Alan Yu found that pet food might get there first.
I knock on Shannon Faulkner's door in Philadelphia, and I'm greeted by her two dogs, a Labrador mix called Gaia and a tiny Chihuahua mix called Trots.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Shannon.
I'm going to grab some cookies, and I'll be right back.
All right, cool. She's currently packing up to move to Toronto. Once Shannon and I give the dogs some cookies...
Yeah, she's fairly aggressive with cookie taking.
That's okay.
They stop barking and let me talk to her.
As a kid, I grew up with three dogs and three cats, and we had a lot of foster pets coming into our house as well. And I was an only child, so my siblings were my pets.
Shannon loves all animals, and she did not like the idea that creatures were being killed to feed her pets. She stopped eating meat a long time ago, but that's not an option for cats and dogs. What could she do for Gaia, Trot, and all the other dogs and cats out there? Shannon became a scientist, got a PhD studying antibiotics. Then she talked to Pat Brown, who used to be a professor of biochemistry at Stanford University.
Yeah, I mean, this man who's this MD, PhD, who had a career that he loved, and he left it all to basically create a veggie burger.
Pat Brown founded Impossible Foods, which is behind Burger King's plant-based Whopper. Shannon was inspired by what he did, so she decided to build on these ideas with pet food. She co-founded a company called Because Animals 3 years ago. They've developed a dog cookie made from nutritional yeast. That's a popular cheese substitute in vegan food. The cookie is for dogs, but it's okay for humans, so I gave it a try.
They're a little dry, but it's just sort of like
No, it tastes like fine. I mean, I wouldn't know what this were if you just gave it to me and fed it.
Yeah.
It tastes like a more fibrous Ritz cracker.
It just sort of tastes like a really dry cracker, you know? But the dogs really like them, so that's the important thing.
Their next product is the one Shannon dreamed about. It's a meat product that doesn't involve killing an animal. It's made in a lab from animal cells. So I ask her, is that fake meat?
From my perspective, I don't see anything fake about it because it does, it is meat, right? It's just that we just didn't have an animal grow the meat. Genetically, it is identical. It's the same DNA that came from an animal. What's fake? What's fake about it?
It's not ready for market yet, but they showed us how they make their product in a lab near Toronto.
So I put lab gloves on, I sterilize with ethanol, making sure that I'm not bringing any pathogens.
Our guide is Taylor Brooks, lead tissue scientist for the company. He's harvesting mouse cells to make meat for cats.
So in this particular flask, this is a cell line derived from the muscle of a mouse.
They take this cell and use it to grow mouse muscles in a nutrient-rich soup in a petri dish. They have to be very careful things don't get contaminated because bacteria love that nutrient broth too. Taylor picks up a cell scraper, which looks like a little rake from a tabletop Zen garden.
I'm just trying to collect all of the available biomass. So we can collect this and harvest it into a cat treat.
What Taylor collected is real mouse muscle tissue grown outside of a mouse. The team takes this tissue and makes small meatballs. They've already fed this to a few cats. The next step is to make the process cheaper and more efficient, so the company can grow a lot more to sell on a large scale. For context, the people who made the first lab-grown burger for humans said one of those would cost $50. Shannon acknowledges feeding our pets meat from a petri dish might sound a little strange.
I know people sort of think it's some kind of Frankenstein thing. There's not a doubt in my mind that this won't be the way of the future.
But what do other pet owners think? I went to a dog park in my neighborhood and asked people who were out walking their dogs, would they feed their dog meat that was grown in a lab?
This dog will literally eat anything.
Others weren't so sure.
I've tried, like, chicken sort of replacements, and they make me ill. And I honestly think a part of it is because they have to, in order to create those sorts of foods, they have to add a lot of extra things into them that are not necessarily organic or not always healthy.
Humans have moved more towards natural food, and so it would be hard to accept them moving towards petri dish created food for our dogs.
I brought their concerns to Shannon.
I'm actually quite pleased that nobody was, so I didn't actually perceive any of those reactions as being negative. There were a couple of folks hesitated a little bit, and it would be weird if nobody hesitated.
Now, as to the woman who wondered whether lab-grown meat is natural, Shannon says that's an interesting question.
There's nothing natural about pet food as it exists right now. Nothing. The only reason why we feed cats chicken or beef or fish is because, again, it's byproducts. In the wild, cats eat mice, small birds, and insects.
She points out that the most common food allergens for cats and dogs are, in fact, beef and dairy products.
For us, by creating a food, a mouse tissue for cats, this is arguably much more natural than the beef that, a feral cat is never going to take down a cow in the wild.
Two animal welfare scientists wrote a journal article about vegetarian diets for cats and dogs, and they went a little further. They wrote that pet owners, quote, frequently microchip, vaccinate, deworm, deflea, and desex their animal companions and confine them indoors at night. Clearly, such owners are willing to depart quite radically from naturalness when they believe it may protect the health and welfare of their pets. End quote. Now, be that as it may, there are of course owners who want to feed their pets meat from a dead animal. And there's a thriving business around marketing cat and dog food that will be fit for a wolf or tiger. The packaging features the gleaming eyes of hungry carnivores. But animal scientist Ryan Yamka says wolves will actually happily eat berries and figs.
Wolves, like dogs or any others, they don't necessarily seek out meat. They're opportunistic feeders, and so they also forage as well.
Ryan is an advisor for Bond Pet Foods, another pet food startup that wants to take animals out of the supply chain, though he's not paid for it. He says wolves and dogs and cats actually don't care about what kind of meat they're eating. It's just a vehicle for nutrients.
They're not focused on protein. They're actually focused on amino acids. And so in the case of a dog, if I could supply the proper amount of amino acids, and it's digestible and bioavailable to that dog, that dog's body doesn't care if it came from soy or chicken or it came from a cultured protein or algae or duckweed or, crickets.
Consumer attitudes aside, lab-grown meat could become a reality for pets much quicker than for humans. Big players are paying attention and getting involved. Purina, the second biggest pet food company in the world, gave the company that Ryan consults for a $10,000 innovation prize. And chances are, pets won't even notice the change.